And we've been looking at various things around the use of our money in environmental ways or in social justice ways. We've been looking at debt. And we've been looking right at the beginning, if you remember, about whose money is it anyway. And Dave's coming here and talking about faith and finances. So we're looking at some very practical things. Dave might say that this is very practical as well, so maybe I won't say any more. But we're also looking at bringing God into the midst of all of our money. Let's pray. Let's pray for Dave as he just comes and shares this morning. Let's just open our hearts up to the Lord that he might speak to us this morning. That he might put something on our heart or stir something. Stir hope. Stir faith. Jesus, we acknowledge your presence amongst us. Jesus, we acknowledge this is your word. You are the word of God. You're the great communication from the Father to this world. And Jesus, we're looking for you this morning to walk amongst us and to bring to life the words that are written on the Bible in our hearts. Give Dave grace, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thanks. Just before I start, I'll just flag up that this coming weekend, next weekend, we've got Movement in Worship workshops. You'll have seen the announcements over the weeks, but just to say that this is a real opportunity. You don't have to be a dancer to come on these things. All you have to do is have a heart that loves the Lord and want to grow in expression of worship. And if you come on a course like that, you don't have to come up here and dance on a Sunday. It's not like that. It's just an opportunity to explore something more. So can I encourage you, there's one for men and one for women, two separate tracks, and then they're going to join together on the Saturday. It's an excellent opportunity. Andy Au and Kirsty Hallett, who are coming up to take it, they get asked to go all around the world to do these courses. It's a real privilege to have them coming to the King's Hall, so let's not miss that opportunity. Come and have a word with Maggie or I afterwards if you want some more details. Okay, faith for finances. This subject really takes us just back to the very basics of our relationship with the Lord. And so if some of what I share this morning sounds a bit simple or basic, it's either because I'm just a simple person or it's because these are just some of the fundamental things to do with how we trust the Lord in our walk with him. You may have heard that Maggie and I are, and the family are in the middle of quite a big step of faith for finances at the moment. I'll share a bit more about that later. I did almost think of saying when I was asked to share this morning, why don't you ask me in a couple of years' time? Because we're right in the middle of it all at the moment. But it's good. God is doing some good things. I'm going to share a bit more about that later. I'm also going to ask a couple of more people to share a bit of their story as well. Because you know how it really builds our faith, particularly in an area like finances. It's also the same with healing. When we hear people's story of how God has met with them, then faith is released in us. And, you know, I'm all for us having more and more opportunities to hear how people meet with God daily and how Jesus touches their lives. And so, just out of interest, at the beginning, who here has known God provide for them in a way that, you know has been an answer to prayer or something unusual? You've seen him provide unusually. Just put your hand up if you can identify with that. Okay, just look around. Loads of people have experienced that. So what we're sharing this morning about is something that we have experienced. We know that we have a God who does provide. And it's encouraging when we hear one another's account about that. I want to start back at the basics, which is really the Lord. Faith for finances is not about us or about our circumstances. It's primarily about the Lord. It's about him. It's about who he is and about what he has said. That needs to be our starting place. If we start with our circumstances or we start with our needs We can very quickly get overcome by, you know, all the detail of it, all the bills that need to be paid, all the problems that there might be, all the things that could be over the horizon. You know, very quickly we can think ourselves into a depression or into a corner. And that's not the way to start. The place to start is to start with who God is and what he has said. Because we are called to be people of faith, we're called to be people of the Spirit, and it's in him we live and move and have our being. It's in him that our lives are built. And so that is our starting place. And initially then we need to look at who the Lord is. He is our provider. We know that from the scriptures that he is a creator God. He created substance from nothing. You know, we know that however you understand all that happened at the beginning of time, we know that out of nothing God created all that there is. And so he's a creator. He can make something out of nothing. That's just the nature of being God. None of us get to be God, but he does, and he can do it. And we can believe that he, as creator, can provide for us. He's also the source of life. He is the source of our provision. He sustains us. He provides for us. We were singing this morning that, you know, father-like, he gently bears us, and you know, just his goodness to us in provision day by day. In Jeremiah 2, he's referred to as the spring of life. He is the source from which we should come to draw all of our sustenance. In fact, he is the one that provides what we enjoy day by day, even though we often take it for granted. Now, back at the near the beginning of the Old Testament in Genesis, we read the story of when Abraham was tested for his faith, and God really gave Abraham quite a difficult test, in the sense that he told him to go up Mount Moriah and take his son Isaac, and he said he was to sacrifice him there to the Lord. Now, Abraham knew as he went up Mount Moriah, he knew that God did not actually want him to kill his son, I believe he knew the father well enough to know that that was not what actually God wanted. But he knew that he needed to trust God as he went. He had to go up the mountain. You read about this in Genesis 22. He had to go up the mountain trusting God that he would work it out and he would provide. And he had faith that he would, but he could only go ahead on what he knew. He only knew that God had told him to go ahead up the mountain and take his son to provide an offering. It's interesting that he could have sat at the bottom. He could have perhaps thought, well, no, this can't be right, you know. God isn't like that, surely not. And he could have reasoned himself out of it all and just thought, well, you know, perhaps God meant go to the beach, not to the mountain. Come on, Isaac, get your bucket and spade. No, instead, he knew that God had said something and he needed to obey it. God doesn't always give us all the information at the start. I don't know why, maybe it's one question we'll need to ask him in heaven, but I suspect it's something to do with growing us in faith along the way, along the journey. You know, Graham Cook talks about the journey is as important to God as the destination, what it does in us along the way. And I remember a few years ago I used to do some work as an architect for the U.S. Air Force, and on their headed paper of their letters, it always used to say that things were on a need-to-know basis. I always used to smile at this little phrase, it's a need-to-know letter. But it's almost in the sense that God tells us what we need to know, and he doesn't always tell us everything, because there's sometimes a faith gap or a faith equation where we have to trust him and know that he is who he says he is, and he will come through for us. And so, of course, you'll know the story well in Genesis. As Abraham goes up Mount Moriah, he finds at the top there's a ram caught in a bush, and he is able to sacrifice that ram on the altar that he makes. And God provides for that sacrifice right at the very place where he had the need. And he says at that time, it says in the scriptures, verse 14 of Genesis 22, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And from that we get one of the names really of God, Jehovah Jireh, his name, our provider, God will provide. It's interesting that for us, of course, We have a picture there that Jesus is like that ram that is God's provision for us. So for us, all the promises of God come through Christ in the same way as God provided for Abraham there on the mountain. Now, when we move to the New Testament, Jesus had quite a lot to teach about how we trusted God for everyday things and about our attitude to possessions and so forth. But if we look at Luke 12, if you've got a Bible, I might want to open it to Luke 12. I'm going to come in at about verse 21, but just put it in context. He's been teaching the crowd, and someone has come up to him in the crowd and said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's interesting how money is often an issue. It's often foremost in people's minds. And there in the crowds, in all that was happening, you know, the healings, the deliverances, and so forth, somebody's coming up to Jesus and saying, "Well, wait a minute, Lord, you know, sort out this financial problem for me." And Jesus gives a parable, which I haven't time to read just now, but he talks about the foolish rich man who stores up great barns of wealth for himself, only to find that God takes his life away. And what happens to all the wealth? It goes to someone else. And let's read on from verse 21. Jesus says, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Very practical, sort of down-to-earth teaching, Jesus talking about everyday things of life, clothing, food. He clearly taught that when we have relationship with God the Father, we can trust him for the daily things of life. In fact, he makes a distinction between us and what he calls the pagan world. You know, those that don't know God, who run after all these things. It takes up their mind, their attention all the time, how to acquire more, how to, you know, gather more. That's what they run after, he says. But we don't need to do that. We don't need to be focused on those things. It's not that they're not going to, you know, be important at some point in our life. Obviously, we need to wear clothes, we need to eat. But that's not our focus. Our focus is different because we have a Father who provides for us. So God is our provider. But secondly, what he has said, we can trust him in. He's utterly faithful and committed to what he declares. God, we're told in the scriptures, is a covenant-keeping God. That means a covenant is, it's an Eastern understanding of something which is really a binding promise, an enduring promise. The story goes that during a particularly difficult time in China, Hudson Taylor, the one of the pioneers of the missionary movement in China, wrote to his wife, and he wrote in it, "We have 25 cents and all the promises of God." And there's something about that, you know, something about seeing it from God's perspective. And his promises, his covenant to us is dependable. These things are, I believe, sort of vital for us to understand. And we need to know that as well, reading about these things, hearing about them, often speaking them out, is effective in building up our faith, particularly when it comes to finances. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, we're told. I don't have time really to go into this in detail now, but if you look back in some of the promises of God to his people in the Old Testament, in chapters like Deuteronomy 28, you will see that he promises provision. He promises to bless the work of our hands. He promises to provide for us in practical, everyday ways for the things that we need while we're on this earth. To prosper us even, not just so that we can live a comfortable life. In fact, very often our own comfort is not foremost in God's mind. It's so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can be those who are generous and give to others and be God's hand reaching out to the world. What he has said, he can be trusted for. And so, when it comes to finances, we come to what I call the faith step. It's interesting how with the things of God, the things that God gives to us, the promises that are ours in Christ, usually, in the main, we have to lay hold of them. They're not just landing in our lap. There's something about that process that God seems to value, that we have to reach out and lay hold of them. And usually it takes a step of faith to release these things. In fact, Hebrews says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is going to be necessary. Along with these things, of course, there are many other aspects. We could talk about the need for wisdom in the Spirit. We could talk about the need to understand what God's will is in a specific situation. But we need to be willing to take a step of faith. And faith for finances grows from this basis. A trust from who he is, a trust in the word he has spoken. Personally, I believe to know God's will, to hear his word for a situation is so helpful to release faith, for us to lay hold of it, to step out in it. I want to give an example. I'm aware of the time running away, but I want to just give a little example of what God is leading us into at the moment. Over the last while, God has been stirring in our hearts about the desire for a house of prayer for the city, somewhere where we could have not only worship and prayer, but we could have opportunity for healing rooms, where we could have a place of training and a place of release. And a little while ago, just last summer, God brought into our attention, through our daughter Rachel actually, an old property that was for sale on the edge of the city. And when we looked at it initially, we thought, you know, this is exciting, this has got so much potential, this could be wonderful for these things. But the more we thought about it, we thought, but this is crazy though, it's such a huge step. Could we really acquire that? Could we really step out in that? But God spoke to us clearly through some words, through scriptures that we've been reading, through over a period of time he'd been speaking to me through some dreams, and then through prophetic words he just spoke very clearly. And to cut a long story short, within the space of 3.5 weeks we had decided to sell our house and to buy this old church building, which is on the edge of Edinburgh out at New Craig Hall. And for us, it is very much a faith step. It's just we're right in the middle of it at the moment. If you want to go to the next one, it was a piano warehouse, just to show you what it's like. It was a big building. It's been used for restoring pianos. This room at the side is one that we are making a prayer room. It's got a lovely small side hall. Okay, the next one, please, Julie. This is the crazy couple who stepped out to buy this place. It's interesting, when people come to see this, you usually get one of two reactions. Either you get a reaction of, David and Maggie, what have you done? Or a real sort of response of faith, like, wow, this is just fantastic. We really sense God is doing something here. Humanly speaking, it's way beyond us, but because we know that God has spoken to us clearly, it has stirred faith in our hearts, and others around us who've been encouraging us with words of faith. And so it is, the work has been progressing. this is us painting the prayer room. Now, by now, actually, that is carpeted and there's a log-burning stove in there. And we've actually moved into this place just over a week ago. Just the next one, Julie. And the main hall there, we're flooring across to make an upstairs space and more accommodation on the ground floor. I haven't got pictures of what it's like now when it's finished, so you'll need to come and visit us if you want to see what that's like. But for us, it's been like, it's almost as if God has just opened up a new phase for us in our lives. And we sense a real call to something new that he's doing, and it's a sort of unfolding vision. But for us, it's been an aspect of hearing his word and being willing to step out on that and trust him for the finances. And believe me, I often think, why God? Why did you choose us to do this? There's nothing special about us at all. But I believe, wants all of us to step out in faith. Not necessarily in the same way, but he wants all of us to believe him. And he's teaching us as we go on this. Now, I said at the beginning that it's really helpful to hear examples from people. And I know Mags has something she'd like to share about how God has been faithful to her. So, Mags, come and share.
Morning. Just want to quickly read from Matthew 6 and verse 8, which says, don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. It was a Friday afternoon. It'd been a rubbish day at work, and I came home and was sitting with my jacket on the couch, just sort of moaning, and realized that I had a really stinking rotten attitude to a member of staff. So I had to apologize to God. So I was just apologizing to God when the letterbox, something came through the letterbox, and I thought, that's strange, it's not a postman, why is that? So I went to the door, and here was a brown envelope, and on the front of the envelope it said, I believe this is for you. And inside it was a specific amount of money, I'm talking specific to the pence, so it was pounds and pence, and I'm thinking, well, what's that about? I had no idea what that was about. But what I did need, I'd had no heating in my house because I'd just not long moved into my flat. And to cut a long story short, that exact amount bought me a gas fire, cleaned my chimney and got it installed. And it was the exact amount that was in that envelope. Now, I hadn't projected, oh, I need so and so for that money. I didn't know that, but it was almost like God knew before I'd even asked how much I needed. Another situation where I came back from Bible college, stood in my sitting room, had 10 pence, literally 10 pence, and thought, God, what are we going to do? You know, how is this going to work out? And he'd asked me to go to Canada, and I had no money whatsoever to go to Canada. At that time, I was accountable for my finances to somebody that some of us know, and he was suggesting that I borrow money, that I go, he could get me a loan from the bank, and I could borrow the money. And I was going to a friend at the time, just to visit a friend, and I got on the bus, and I was sitting on the bus thinking, doesn't feel right. I didn't have peace about borrowing the money. Meanwhile, this friend, who's over here, who is autistic and who has no verbal communication but was communicating with his mum, said, I want to give Mags a loan of £1,000, interest-free. And so I had been sitting on the bus saying, God, I need this £1,000 to get there because I needed insurance and I needed my travel money. And here in Portobello was this friend sitting saying, I think I need to give the money to my friend. Now, we hadn't communicated. We hadn't said anything to each other, but I had communicated with God and God had communicated with him. So the source of that money was a very unusual source and not your usual where you would expect to get a loan of the money. And just lastly, January, talking about taking steps of faith, last year in my 50th year, I decided to start my own business. And so that was a bit of a step of faith, you know. And so this year, in January, I was just saying, God, I need your help financially because we need to get in work and we need to get the money in because, you know, we need to pay the mortgage, etc. And I was remembering that when I was in Canada, there was a day, I wasn't paid when I lived in Canada, but I wasn't paid. I worked, but I wasn't paid in that situation. And I can remember going out one day with some sandwiches and a flask of hot water. I was on my day off and I'd gone out and I had 47 cents. It was just interesting about Hudson Taylor, but I had 47 cents in my purse. And out of the blue, I came across a very small shop, which is unusual in Canada, a small shop. And in there was just one sachet of hot chocolate, 47 pence. And there was something, God could have given me $500 that day, but it wouldn't have meant the same as that 47 cents. And for me in January, I stood and said, God, I want to be back to the place of the 47 cents, because I've lost some ground because I've had a salary. Strangely enough, I've lost some ground in that whole faith for finances, and so I want to go back to that place of the 47 cents.
Great. Let's give a round of applause, isn't that great? Yes. It's so good, isn't it, to hear how God meets us in practical, everyday things of life, and so thanks, Mags. I was going to ask Daniel just to share very briefly as well, because Daniel's a businessman, and he set up his own business, and often that's a place that God really tests us for finances. So.
Yeah, running a business is fairly scary because you have all kinds of things that have all kinds of things that are scary, like bills and big bills. And I set up a running a web company on my own 7 years ago. And really at that point, it wasn't a company. It was just me doing stuff in my back room. In fact, it wasn't a back room, it was a box room. And it was small, and it was, well, it's tiny. And God was faithful back then. And God grew it a bit, and then he grew it a bit more, and went into a back room, and then went into a shop 3 years ago. And then we moved into a proper office, feels very grown up, just in 2 weeks ago, actually. So God is doing new things. But there was a time last year where I was looking at the finances, or rather, finance director was saying, we have a situation. And I think, okay, great. It's like Houston, we have a problem. And he said, we've got a couple of £1,000 in the bank, but at the end of this month, we need to pay PAYE and VAT and national insurance and the rent and corporation tax. And that was £20,000. And I was really, really scared, more scared than I am standing up here talking to you now. Because I thought, okay, we need to find that money. I don't know how we're going to do it. And if we don't do it, then people are going to have to stop working. And so I was crying out to God, God, what do I do? What do I do? And he didn't give me a word, but Roddy, who's my father-in-law, also finance director, said to me, you run the business and I'll worry about the finances. So I thought, okay, great. I'll just go ahead and do what I need to do. And that was really just stepping out, not in faith, but just doing what I normally do and getting the work done and saying, oh God, how on earth do we do this? And from there, over that month, it was a busy month, and I kind of forgot about it. And towards the end of the month, I said to Roddy, how are we getting on? And he said, oh, it's all okay. Yeah, we've got it all in. It's fine. We're going to make it. And so I thought, great, okay, well, that's over and done with. I hope we don't have to deal with that again. And then 3 months later, a similar thing came up. And instead of being dead scared, I was kind of concerned. Okay, we've got a similar situation. We've got to find, I think it was £17,000. And I prayed and said, Lord, you dealt with it 3 months ago, and it was fine. And so he dealt with it, of course, and it was stepping out in not faith, but in trust. And so you think, well, okay, God, you did it last time. Maybe you'll do it again. And you did. And then just before Christmas, as you can see a recurring pattern here, we had another situation. And it was a matter of very similar kind of amount of money. But just before Christmas, the 21st of December, Roddy say, I need to let you know about this. Okay. And I just thought, fine. No problems. God's going to meet the need. And he did, of course. So it was a matter of trust. You have the big need, and God comes through for you when you're really scared. And then you get to the next level, and you're anxious, and he comes through for you. And then, you know, same thing's going to come up in a couple of months' time. And I'm just going to say, okay, fine, that's great. But God is opening new challenges, and it's seeing that he comes through for you. That's really good.
That's great. I'm sorry, I'm aware that our time is up, really, because we did say we would finish by 11:30. Just to suffice to draw this together, just to say that in the whole area of faith for finances, we need to come back to the basics of trusting God for who he is and trusting the words that he has given us and be willing to step out on that. And that faith always will involve something of a risk. There's always going to be a sense of not knowing exactly where we're going to land. They say that, you know, there's an African animal called the impala that can jump 10 feet in the air. But they say that in a zoo, they can keep an impala within an enclosure with a fence that's only 3 foot high. Because if it can't see where it's going to land, it won't jump over that fence. And yet, the animal could jump 10 foot in the air. But it's held back by just a low fence of 3 feet. And I just wonder, for me, for us, whether sometimes we're a bit like that. We could jump 10 foot in the air, but we're held back because we can't see exactly where we're going to land, so we won't leap over the 3 foot fence. And maybe something God is stirring in us this morning, and maybe this is something for us to take away from this morning, that actually he has given us the resources. He's put these things in our heart. He's given us his promises, and he's saying to us now, reach out higher. There's something more you can go for. Trust me to provide. Trust me for finance, for healing, for other things. Reach out to me. I just wonder, just as we close, perhaps we could just pray together. If you are thinking, like me, you're thinking, God, we're just learning in this area. We want to grow in this. Perhaps you'd like to stand to your feet, and I'll just pray that God will increase us in this understanding. Lord, you give us very practical teaching in your word. And Lord, as we boil it down, we see that you call us to be people who trust you, who put our faith in you, to know that you are our provider, you are the source of our life. Father, we ask that you would teach us to trust you in these areas for finance, for other things. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you would release something from heaven of faith into our hearts, to believe you, to go for more, to jump the 10 feet, not to be held back by the 3 foot fence. Father, cause there to be something that stirs within us this morning, to jump higher, to reach out for more in God. So Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.